Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today, do we have a good one? We've got Dr. Adia Gooden in the house, everyone's favorite self-worth expert, clinical psychologist, TEDx speaker, professional speaker. She is well-rounded, folks. She is phenomenal, and you're going to get a dose of awesome in the next 20 minutes. I am so excited to have you, friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Brad. It's great to be here.
You have got the juice, sister. You have got the juice. You have the it. Whatever the it is, you have got it. And I'm so excited. You and I definitely on the same wavelength in regards to self-worth. Self-worth is your thing. And You, roughly 2 years ago, you're earning a six-figure salary. You're working at one of the top universities in the world. And you just decide to get up and leave that. Just like, see ya, I'm starting something new, baby. You left it all. What was it that you were chasing?
Oh, such a good question. Because when you frame it like that, it sounds like not the best decision. But I think, you know, it was really clear to me when I was honest with myself that the role I had, the job I had was not right for me. It was really clear that I wasn't truly using my gifts and my strengths. And I wasn't feeling lit up by the work that I was doing. And I think if I was chasing anything, it was, you know, wanting to use my gifts to serve people, to serve the world, and wanting to feel lit up and energized and excited about, you know, what I was doing, the work I was doing in the world. And I felt very weighed down and dragged down by the work that was involved in my specific role. And I knew that that wasn't what I was meant to be doing. And right. So I trusted myself. It was scary. It was scary to take that leap, but I trusted myself. I trusted my gifts that I'm here to bring into the world. And I took the leap, and it's been the best professional decision I have ever made.
Yes. Good for all of us. A lot more people get some good in their diet now that you've done this. So I think that's I call that the double win. So, you know, I ask you that question because a lot of people, as you know, a lot of people chase things, chase achievements. And when we do that, you know, that really isn't sustainable. I'm a big firm believer in chasing who you are becoming. Becoming a different kind of beast, becoming a different kind of awesome, your own brand of awesome. And we're having a lot of that these days. You could say we're beyond COVID, or we're still in COVID, or we're never going to get beyond COVID. There's definitely a hangover from it. You know, and there's a lot of people doing pivots still and changing positions. And there's a lot of startups out there, a lot of people trying to be entrepreneurs. There's so much new going on, but a lot of people, I can't remember the stat. I'm sure you might even have the stat. There's a massive percentage of startups that don't make it beyond 12 months. All of them chasing things, chasing revenue, chasing just stuff that's fleeting. Do you have any advice for the peeps out there that maybe are chasing the wrong thing on how they can start chasing things that will actually be sustainable?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, there's a lot of ways in which I'm very grateful that I got out of the chasing achievement and affirmation game before I entered entrepreneurship. So I spent a couple of decades chasing achievements and academic achievements in particular in my case, and took that to sort of the ultimate, getting my dissertation, and realized in that journey, when I got to the end, right, I crossed the finish line, and it didn't do it for me, right? Like, I still felt empty. I still didn't feel worthy. And that really was my wake-up call in a lot of ways, that this chasing achievement thing was not going to work. And so I thankfully got out of that before entrepreneurship. But entrepreneurship will bring up a whole host of stuff, right? Like, if you have unresolved stuff, it's going to come up, right? Because the riskiness and the uncertainty and all of that brings it out. And I think, you know, it's really helpful for people to remember your sense of worthiness, your sense of, you know, feeling good about yourself is not going to come through achievements. And it's not going to last that way, right? And I think even in entrepreneurship, you know, it takes a lot to be recognized by some of the big thing, right? Like it takes a lot to be on the Forbes 40 under 40 or, you know, some of these big accolades, right? And so mostly you're operating by yourself, right? Or with a small group of people. And you have to, in order for it to be sustainable, you have to believe in the work you're doing and also create a process that's sustainable versus something that's just, well, maybe when we get this next thing, maybe when we get this next thing, maybe when we get this next thing, right? And so you want to make sure that you're enjoying the process and that you're not trying to prove your worth through the success or, you know, success of your business. You want to make sure you have a deeper why. And for me, when you know you're worthy, then that frees you up to show up and do the work you're meant to do instead of trying to prove your worth through that work.
Oh, there you go. Already in the first 5 minutes, you're already showing off. Love it. Love it. So good. So self-worth, self-esteem, is there a difference between those two? I know that's kind of a hot topic for you. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I see self-esteem as sort of based on what we do in the world, right? So the external, our abilities, our accomplishments, the things we believe we can achieve, our social status, those sort of external things. And that our self-esteem tends to go up and down depending on how we're doing, right? You get the promotion, you get the funding, you get the client, whatever it is, and your self-esteem goes up. You feel confident. Right? You get a new certification, you get some skills, but then you experience a failure, you experience a rejection, you know, you have a hard time financially in your business, whatever it is, your self-esteem goes down.
Right.
In contrast, our self-worth is really about how we see ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we treat ourselves. So at the core, it's about our relationship with ourselves. And when we want to build a healthy relationship with ourselves, we want it to be unconditional. We don't want it to be conditioned based on, I'll treat you well, I'll take care of my body, I'll do all of these things if I'm meeting these conditions, right? We want it to be, I care for myself, I love myself, I appreciate myself regardless. And so the way I define unconditional self-worth specifically is the belief that you deserve to be alive, to be loved and cared for, and to take up space just because you're human.
So good. So how do we, you know, a lot of people that struggle with self-worth, they also struggle in what kind of words and noise they allow to come in to the 6 inches between their ears. They probably listen to themselves a little bit too much and don't talk to themselves enough. Or they focus a little bit on one more than the other. Do you have any tips or advice or suggestions? There's someone out there listening right now that, you know, they're scarred. Maybe they had a rough experience in a previous position or a rough marriage or rough whatever. And so anytime something comes up, that trauma, they start hearing things and listening to things when in reality, you know, they can talk positive into their day. They can breathe life into their day, just the way they talk to themselves. Do you have any suggestions or advice to that person?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So many people experience self-criticism, struggle with self, like constantly criticize themselves. And you're exactly right that often it's because of an internalization of a trauma, or maybe you had super harsh parents or really challenging, you know, mean teacher, right? And you sort of internalize this voice. And one of the first things we can do is just recognize it, right? Because often it's sort of operating in the background and we're not even totally aware that we're tearing ourselves down. We're pointing out every mistake in a harsh way, not a constructive way. We're making ourselves feel bad. We're constantly talking negative to ourselves. So one of the first things people can do is just even start looking at, how are you talking to yourself, right? Like what is the radio, the message playing in the background of your head? And start looking at it. And that could be you write it out. Like, where is my mind going? You write it out. It could be you say it out loud. One of the strategies I used to use when I was doing therapy, individual therapy, is like, say it in a silly voice or sing it, right? Like make it ridiculous, right? Make it sound ridiculous. And what that does is, one, you get to look at it, So it's no longer just in your head as a truth, an assumed truth. It's something that you're looking at. Well, is it true that I always fail and I never get anything right and I'm never going to succeed? You know, I had a success last week. I don't think that's true. So do you want to believe it? And is it helpful? That's another really useful question. Is this thought helping me? Because often then people get, well, what if it's true? What if it's true? And I need to know that I'm the worst person ever and I need to be prepared that I'm going to fail and people, right? So let's just ask, is it helpful? What happens when you go down the rabbit hole of saying you're the worst person ever? Well, you just want to sit on the couch all day. You don't feel like you can do anything. You're going to just binge Netflix for a week and eat a tub of ice cream, right? And not that those things on their own, watching Netflix, eating ice cream are bad, but it makes you feel unmotivated and it makes you feel unworthy. So it's not helpful. So then let's do what you're suggesting is how about an encouraging word, which doesn't have to mean I'm the perfect person, I'm the best person ever, but could be, you know what? I gave that a good try. And I'm gonna look at where I missed and I'm gonna figure out how to improve so I can get back up, get back in the game, get back to what I need to do. I'm gonna give myself a rest and then I'm gonna get back at it, right? That's the kind of self-talk that's really helpful.
That is really good. And for those of you listening on audio, you can't see this, but if you're watching this video, if you're wondering if I'm Caucasian, I definitely are. I'm just now noticing my lighting here, Adia, and I feel like I must be in Hawaii, right? Because, or some sort of island, because I'm, holy cow. Who's running this operation, Gooden? That is really, really good. So there's the glass half empty thinkers out there that they hear the stuff that we're talking about, self-worth, positive, marinating good stuff in our own little 6-inch crock pot up here. And they just think it's Pollyanna. They just assume that you and I and whatnot, that we're just, we're ignoring reality. We're not being real. What do you say to that person out there? Because there's plenty of that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good point. So, research has actually shown that people who are, and I'm probably not going to say it the perfect way, the right way, but people who are, more in touch with like the actual reality are actually more likely to be depressed. So, like, there is a connection between being very aware of all the things that are happening in the world and all of the challenges, which our mind tends to, you know, attract us to, and feeling more discouraged, feeling more down. Here's what I'll say. I'm going to come back to what I just, the question I just posed a moment ago, which is asking, is it helpful? Right? Like, does being so for me, this looked like I don't watch the news all the time. Like, do I like get my pieces of news in ways that are digestible? Yes. But do I sit and watch the news constantly? No, because I would feel discouraged and unmotivated and I would not be a helpful human. And so that's just one example. But yourself, is it helpful? Does what I'm consuming, how I'm talking to myself, how I'm looking at the world, does it help me to show up as the human and the person that I want to be? And if your answer is no, then it's time to find a different strategy, which may be you look for positive news, right? You actively follow some of the social media accounts that share positive news, that you know, engage in what you can engage in with the news so you stay informed, but you're not thinking about it all day, and you think about, well, what can I do right now with my power and my agency to make a difference in my life or someone's life? So I think it's about, yeah, it may seem Pollyanna, but like, do you want to live in the world that you're living in? Do you want to live in the headspace you're living in? And what can you do to shift things so you can show up as the person you want to show up as?
Amen. Amen. Awesome answer. I thought we agreed that you were going to quit showing off 5 minutes in. So I hear you talking, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. For me, I call it having my core values held loosely. I have these things that are really important to me, but I'm going to allow freedom in there. And so, what I was going to get to is, I do have routines in my day, every day. By design, positive, by design, fun, by design, family, by design, trending in the direction of my desired identity. And I can operate loosely in there. I can be flexible with how I go about doing that. But I'm going to make sure that every single day I'm doing stuff that's going to have the thoughts coming in, the way I'm talking to myself, what I'm assimilating myself to. I'm going to make sure there's a lot of positive. So just to give you an example, so when I get up, I won't go through my entire routine at home, but I know that like wherever I'm going, I'm generally listening to something positive on the way into the office. It might be listening to your awesome stuff. It could be listening to someone else's awesome stuff. Could be someone else's podcast. I'm going to listen to something on the way in that's going to either make me laugh or I'm going to grow by design. And then everything I do all day is designed really around those things. I want to have fun. Like learning should be fun. Working doesn't always have to feel like work. It should be fun. Growing is cool. Adding value to other people's lives is cool. So, you know, whether it be a kindness calendar or an awesomeness calendar, we can do that kind of stuff. Do you have any suggestions for people? I mean, you change lives every day, just being you. Do you have any suggestions for people to of things that they could kind of slide into their routine that they could win by design, that maybe they can go from primal thinking to, you know, rejuvenated thinking?
I love that. I love your examples, and I love how you sort of structure it into your day, because we can't control everything in our world and our lives, but the things that we can control, we can make them help us to be more positive and helpful. And, you know, I think some of it is about people experimenting and figuring out what works for them. So for me, exercising is really incredibly helpful. Meditating is helpful. These days I get mornings with my daughter who's 11 months old and listening to music and dancing and, you know, playing, like that is really wonderful. You know, having a gratitude practice is incredibly helpful, right? We research shows that gratitude helps us to experience more happiness, right? Like that is one of the biggest things. And so taking some time to direct your mind on things that you are grateful for. There's this, I don't know if you're familiar with Soul Pancake, but there's this like kind of online platform. Anyway, they do this experiment. It's called the Happiness Experiment, and they make people call someone that they are really grateful for and tell them that they're, and people are so uncomfortable, they feel so happy. And it's exactly what you're doing, which is tell people that you are grateful for them, and they will feel good and you will feel good, right? And so there's such simple things that we can do. And I love your example. So I'm adding a few, like you could do a gratitude practice, get your body moving in a way that feels good for you. Meditation is another one. I think just little things that increase enjoyment and happiness really go a long way.
So good. That's so good. And that is the ultimate double win. By adding value to someone else's life, you're also adding value to your own. And the thing I love about all the stuff that you mentioned there and the stuff that we're talking about is, you know, you don't need a 40-inch vertical to do it. You don't need to be 6'5". You don't need a 1600 on your SAT. You don't need a degree to do these things. You can wake up and be fantastic every day doing things that are super simple. Like all the stuff that you mentioned. Your meditation, it varies for everybody, but you could spend 5 minutes meditating. I mean, you could just, I mean, it could start there. You could, you know, the voice text, my voice texts, none of them last more than 30 seconds. I mean, super simple, but it's amazing. And I don't do it for the recognition or anything like that. I do it, one, I do love these people. And two, I do want them to know I'm thinking about them. Three, I want to let their day get rocking in a really good way too. And
I love that.
Wow. We don't have a whole lot longer. We're crawling in about 5 minutes. I've tried to make this thing as much about me as possible. How am I doing?
Great.
Okay. I really just was just pretending to want to make this conversation about you. It was really the Dalton Show all the way. No, cultivating joy. Do you have some kind of laws or some guidelines or some kind of things that you talk about that help people cultivate joy? Because it, you know, when you wake up doing it and working on it like you and I do, it may seem to the outsider that it's something easy, but it's something that you and I have to work at as well. We all have to work at it. Are there some guidelines, some steps, some standards for cultivating joy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think some of the things are things we've talked about, like being, you know, like gratitude, practicing gratitude. I think some of the things are actually things that you mentioned, which is making room for fun and play, right? You know, kids, right? All they're expected to do, hopefully all they're expected to do, especially when they're really little, is just play, right? Like that's how you explore, that's how you learn. And then as we get older, play and fun just kind of like get sucked out of our lives, right? And even things that used to be play and fun turn into, you know, intense, right? Like you got to perform, you got to show up. I know you're a coach, right? Like, and so it becomes about the competition or about winning or about, you know, making it to that or getting the scholarship or whatever. And so I think the more that we can sort of infuse play and fun and pleasure into our lives, the more joy we are experiencing. And I think a lot of adults, you know, like there's some stat that's like 80% of people are unhappy with their jobs, right? And so that's how we spend most of our lives, right? So if you are spending most of your day feeling unhappy, feeling drained of energy, then it's no wonder that you're not going to like feel happy in your life. You're going to feel sort of drained and maybe miserable. And so the more you can create spaces of play and silliness and fun, right? That without expectations, without it needing to be for this purpose that you're going to become a competitive dancer or you're going to become a competitive runner or you're going to be, right? Like we almost turn like everything into that, right? Like first you run for fun, then you got to run a marathon. And I know that that's fun for people and that can be a great goal, but
Right.
it's like, can you create spaces where it's just for your enjoyment?
Sure.
Right? Like just for because you want to, not to get anywhere, not to achieve a goal, but just because you want to. And I think the more we can create those simple moments, right? Whether it's with friends or family or with ourselves doing something we enjoy, the more joy we will experience. And then the last little piece I'm just going to add is allowing yourself to experience the joy because so often people feel unworthy of it and then they ruin joyful moments and things because they don't feel deserving. And so some of it is creating it and some of it is allowing it and letting yourself soak it in.
That is awesome. You struck a chord with so many different things you said there for me. Well, first off, some of the stuff you describe, I've heard it described as pathological busyness, where people just get so stuck in being busy and being in a hurry and being productive that they tie those things, they tie their titles, they tie all that stuff to the stuff that you like to talk about, self-worth. And then you don't even enjoy it. All right, friend. Well, hey, we got 30, roughly 30 seconds, 30 to 45 seconds for you to talk to our audience on how can they create the best version of themselves beginning today. 30 to 45 seconds.
The first thing is accepting who you are and finding the gifts and the strengths that are hidden in your quirks or the things that you're trying to hide, sharing that with the world and focusing more on how you want to give, how you want to show up than on what people may or may not be thinking of you. And then giving yourself a whole lot of kindness and compassion in the process because that will help you be more kind and compassionate to others.
That is so good. For those not watching video, you are cheating yourself. Good in nation over here. She's a keeper.
I talk a lot with my hands.
Yeah, I'm normally I compare myself to a fly caught in a trap usually. This is mellow for me. I'm normally a busy little thing over here. I appreciate you so much for making the time. I know you're a wanted Chiquita for those of you out there. You gotta connect with this girl. She is fantastic. Everything she spits out is amazing. And we'll put it all in the notes. A lot of gratitude. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Brad. This was fun.
You bet. Make it a great day.
And remember, you're worthy.